Hello, this is producer Ben, and if you enjoy listening to great Catholic content like this, then please consider supporting The Quest Atlanta, where we do our very best to make Catholic content that's engaging, thought-provoking, and spiritually fruitful. So if that sounds like the kind of content you want to listen to, then please consider going over to thequestatlanta.com and dropping a dollar or two in the old tip jar. Thanks so much, and keep on listening.
AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
Hello, this is JJ, and on this episode of Honest to God, we talk about the season of Lent. In today's world, Lent has become just a season most Catholics forget about. But if we give it some time and forethought, then it can be a supremely spiritual season. But how can we get the most out of Lent to grow in our faith and in our relationship with Jesus? We'll keep on listening and learn a thing or two about how to use this incredible season. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome. Pumped to be here today. You are listening to episode number 3.14159265 of Honest to God. One of our guests suggested that one today. I'm not sure exactly, but I'm pretty sure that's the episode number we're on, isn't it?
Yeah, 3.14159215.
It's going to be
last week.
A great day. We're very excited, and I've got a great reason why that is the episode number that we're on, because some of us are giving up pie for Lent. That's a good segue.
Pie Day happens during Lent.
That's true.
Very good, very good. And as a proud graduate, first in my class of Harvard for segues, I love a good segue. So we've got a bunch of returning guests today. We're very excited. We got Madeline. We got AG. The letter combo gets me every time, but it's AG. We got Nini, and then we've got JJ. So it's a good day here. As always, we're rocking producer Ben. We may or may not have Shannon Benny in studio as well. You'll never know. But looking forward to this episode, talking about Lent, digging into some of that. But before we start, we're going to begin, as we do all things, with prayer. And let's see, who's got a good I'm good at extemporaneous prayer face? Oh, yeah. All day long. It's you, AG. AG, do you mind starting us off with prayer?
Sure. All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I just ask that you be with us today, Lord, as we get ready to talk about Lent, talk about this beautiful season in the church that we're able to grow closer to you. Holy Spirit, I hope you fill this conversation with what we all need to learn and what we're able to teach other people. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. In your face, non-denominational. we can extemporaneously pray too. You'll notice we didn't even end it with a Hail Mary. We could have. Easy. But we didn't. Super excited about this episode. And this should be our first episode during Lent. Is that when this is airing?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. You've all been here before, so we're going to go through really quickly just one fun fact a piece, starting with JJ.
Yeah, JJ, and my fun fact is for all testing to date suggests that I'm impervious to having rocks dropped on my head.
Could you flesh that out a little bit for me? Why are you taking part in those particular tests?
I guess my younger brother Nicholas fancies himself a scientist of some sorts. So we had this brick wall at our old house, and it was like, I don't know, like 7 to 8 feet high or something. And we just like, I was like, he was up there. And I was down at the bottom, and I guess he saw a rock, and he couldn't pass up the opportunity. He wasn't even mad at me, I don't think. Right. He just grabbed the rock and dropped it on my head. It was a big rock, too. It was like it's like as big as a pie or something.
Speaking of pie.
I didn't even get knocked out. Like, it hurt, and I was mad at him. But
can we do an Honest to God video where we – throughout the whole episode, we start with very small pebbles, but then we gradually increase the size of the rocks that we drop on your head.
Yeah. It's like a Galileo thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the two ones. Yeah. Not Galileo. Like gravity is the same, and JJ doesn't pass out.
Wait, I'm embarrassed. Who was that? Sir Isaac Newton.
Sir Isaac
right?
Newton, okay. Yes, with the apple. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. With the apple.
Awesome. But we can do various fruits, work our way up to rocks. I like that.
I only ask that they're nice rocks. Like, I'm not feeling sedimentary, but igneous. I obsidian or something.
Maybe some river rocks that have been smoothed out.
Oh, the smooth ones. I like nice. That would be a great way to propose to me if anyone's planning on it. It's like, what is this, a diamond? And
It's a rock.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It's actually very sweet. I might save that for someone else.
Yeah, totally. All right, Nini, what you got? What's your one?
I hate the color pink.
You hate it?
I hate it. And I think it's because when I was younger, I watched High School Musical. And,
I know where this is going.
And I did not like Sharpay Evans, and she wore a lot of pink, so it's kind of just correlated. Just hate the color pink.
Okay.
Now, like light pink, like a blush pink, great. Hot pink, can't do it.
I'm actually a big fan of the pastels. Kind of off-brand, yeah. But I like pastels.
Pastels fine, like a hot neon pink, no, can't do
like
it.
Like a Barbie pink, like a millennial
pink? No, can't do it.
All right. No, that's fair. It's all right. All right, AG, what you got?
I don't know. I don't know.
Just one. How about you give us a traumatic memory from your childhood or
traumatic.
Something?
There's so many. I will go with my favorite color is blue.
All right. I'm going to allow it only because I feel bad about suggesting a traumatic memory from your childhood. So
we'll be here for a few hours.
We'll allow it today. Madeline.
Okay, I have a fun fact.
So glad that you're back. Sorry, just for like 2 seconds of me talking, I'm so pumped to have you back on the
show. I'm so happy to be back. Okay, I have already said this on a previous episode, but my favorite color is pink. And when you said that, like the camera was on me, I went... But that's not my fun fact because I've already said that one before. My fun fact, I've thought long and hard, like on the drive here, I have an hour drive here, and I was like, what is my fun fact? I can solve a Rubik's Cube.
Oh, you know the magic combo to do it? That's cool.
Yeah. Right. So
I like it.
I learned it in seventh grade, and I was the stuff at break for like 2 weeks. I had crowds around me.
I am positive just from knowing Producer Ben that Producer Ben can also solve a Rubik's
I cannot.
You can.
Cannot
you can. That. That is a lie.
Oh, my gosh. I can't solve a Rubik's Cube. I can do something that Ben can't.
it's amazing.
Now, my younger brother, Sam,
right.
He can solve a Rubik's Cube in like a minute and a half flat. Like, he's really good at it.
And he got, like, the big one, and then they make smaller ones that are, like, 3x3. Oh, yeah. Boy can just go for it.
Is it the same system for the smaller ones as the big ones?
The 3x3s, the 5x5s, the 7x7s, all the odd numbers are pretty much the same algorithms, but, like, a 2x2, 4x4, 6x6, up and up and up, those are, like, more of, like, the same.
You just solve the center, right? And then you move out,
the
right?
center never moves, right?
Yeah. But like you solve the center 3x3 and then
the 3x3, the center never moves, but you gotta like figure out how to move all the other ones around it and stuff.
Cool. All right. Yeah. I like it. That is not the topic of today's episode, but I'm sure we talk a lot about Rubik's Cubes today. What we are going to talk about today is Lent, though. We have Lent coming up. If you're listening to this, it is currently Lent. So get excited for that. And we're going to... you say that? Do you say get excited for Lent?
Get excited.
I am for it.
Because the end of Lent is literally the resurrection of Jesus. Get excited for that.
And right. even Lent itself, like when you're a kid, you love Christmas. But like as I'm getting older, I'm like... Forget presents. I want to cry. I want to be in touch with my emotions. I want pain.
I want to cry.
I like that hot take. Okay. Yeah.
It's like...
I promised my seventh graders that if they reminded me, I would show up one day in sackcloth and ashes for Lent. Like cool. I have a lot of burlap sacks for all the farming stuff that we've done, and ashes are pretty readily available. And just one day, I want to show up barefoot, sackcloth, ashes. I think that'd be cool.
Do it.
Kind of dig it.
You know the thing though, if you don't have like a fireplace, how do you get ashes? I don't think you can buy them.
Oh, you just burn stuff in your backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
pretty
like,
much what? Anything is ashes if you put your mind to it.
Yeah. It's true. I feel like we're ashes and like to ash
dust.
Showers turn.
Yeah. So let's get into Lent a little bit and talk about, I want to get into Lent almost like we got into the Christmas season or Advent or whatever. Just talking about first family traditions, what it's meant to you. I mean, if you're anything like me, Lent was something that I guess vaguely practiced as a kid that I didn't really realize why we were doing it. I thought it was dumb. I cheated on my whatever if people who were Catholic weren't around. It mainly came down to, and then as I got older, when I was in high school and was starting to have this conversion to the Catholic faith, I liked it as an opportunity to demonstrate how much holier I was than everyone else by having ashes on my forehead. Like, super disordered, right? Like understanding of Lent as a season of preparedness. And now that I'm older, I take it a lot more seriously, and I'm thinking about how to actually do what Lent is meant to do. So I want to open it up and just, this is kind of a cheesy question, but JJ, what does Lent mean to you?
Oh my gosh.
Define Lent. What's it mean to you? Don't say like it's a preparation for Easter. What?
I guess it means for me, that's a tough one. Like, I was telling you how hard it is to look into myself. I can look out so easily. Well, I mean, I just really love Lent. I think it's because I kind of have that Spartan mentality.
Right.
And I guess it means for me something where I have an excuse to try and be holier without being obnoxious about it. Okay. Like, it's a gift of the, like, one of the easiest times of the year to pick a way to become holy. Like, yeah, that's what it is.
My problem with Lent, though, is that it always becomes such a pride thing for me, and I want to, like, out Spartan everyone else. Like, I'm totally that guy Jesus talks about who wants, I want to stand on the street corner covered in ashes wailing about how hungry I am, right? Totally. And I struggle with that. I have to remind myself of, you know, that all of the deprivation and all of these things that I'm doing are for nothing if I'm getting a real world benefit in the here and now.
Yeah. I mean, no, that was 100% me. For like when I was younger, I think I treated it as like the gym, and like my siblings were like the gym bros I was competing with.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, oh, you're giving up chocolate? No, that makes sense because it has sugar in it and I'm giving up sugar.
But I haven't eaten in 2 weeks, so
yeah, that makes sense. But you ever tried CrossFit? Like, but I mean, yeah, the verse that kind of like made a lot to me because my priest like was kind of focusing on it one time was, I can never quote it exactly, but it's like the one that's like, when you're fasting, don't like let your hair become unkempt. It's like trim your hair, trim your beard, oil your hair. It's like, don't let people know or something like that. And a big part of making Lent better for me is actually cutting back on the fasting sometimes. Mm-hmm. If I'm like at a party and like I'm giving up sweets or something and a friend's like, oh, here's some pie. I'll be like, oh, no, thanks. I'm good once. But if they're like, no, try some, I won't be like, sorry, I'm fasting, I can't.
I'm super holy. So.
Yeah. I'll just eat it then and then try and make it up later. And that kind of.
That's
kinda
cool.
Works
like
better.
That. Yeah. No, I like that. What about you guys? I want to open it up a little bit on that. And I do want to get back to your Lent experience because as a Byzantine Catholic, right, you've got some cool stuff. Y'all do some cool things. Madeline, what you got? I can tell.
Okay. So kind of like how y'all were saying when you were younger, like for me, it was always like, I always gave up candy and chocolate, I think, like as a kid. My parents were like, just do that because, but I was actually listening to a podcast on the way down here. I think it was actually Father Mike. But nice. He was saying how when he was younger, he would be like, okay, I'm going to give up chocolate. But at the end, oh, actually, you know what? It might have been Brian from the Catholic Truth. But anyways.
Big shout out. He's a friend of the show.
Yeah, I actually watched that episode and started listening to him. Anyways.
I think I know the one you're talking about, but keep going.
he was like, I would always give up the sweet, the chocolate, the movies, the something. But then I when Lent ended, I would binge it. And because like make up for the time I lost. And that's kind of like how I saw Lent growing up. It wasn't something that like, I don't know, like my parents taught well, but like I just didn't grasp onto it. Up until pretty much last year, I participated in Fiat 90. And let me tell you, that changes you. And
that's girly Exodus 90, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. It's pretty much all the same thing, except I don't have to take cold showers. Okay. I'm very
that's the best part.
But I, after doing that, I realized that, like, I'm not giving up or fasting for, like, I was doing it more of a prideful thing, wearing ashes to, like, show off that I am Catholic. And I was, like, but I was always scared because I was, like, what if someone asked me? I was, like, I don't know how to give them a definite answer. Like, I don't have a full answer to give them.
To what
like,
question?
Why I wear ashes, why I participate in Lent. And so last year, I kind of, like, dove into that and, like, was really, like, okay, I'm going to do this to, like, I'm not going to do it for myself. I'm going to do it for God. I'm going to do it for the God that, like, wants me to do this for him, because why else would he have, like, sacrificed himself for me? And especially this year, I've been thinking a lot more about how can I do things to better my prayer life and to better my faith life, and not something as in, like, not particularly giving up something, giving it up, but then replacing it with, like, I'm not going to watch TV as much during that time. Instead, I'm going to have a holy half hour, or I'm going to reach out to more people. Mm-hmm. I'm going to participate in more church activities. Because that's something for me that I realized that's helped me, because now whenever I think about going to watch a movie, that's pretty much all I do.
The Bachelorette.
I can be like, okay, well, actually, what can I be doing instead of this? And how can I offer this time up to God? And how can I give it back to Him?
The taking something on seems like that's gotten more popular in mm-hmm. recent years. Yeah. And like, I think that's huge, right? And even with the Exodus 90, we view Exodus 90 as you're going to not do all of these things. And like, yeah, that's great. But what is as, or probably more important, right, mm-hmm. is you're taking on these things in addition to, right? You're doing that holy hour. The Exodus 90 is just like a dietary thing. Like, you're just going on a diet, you're losing weight, and you're being uncomfortable yeah. if you're not taking with it, right, the holy hour and yeah. all of these other yeah. things. What about either of you guys?
I can talk. So I'm kind of similar to what you said. Like, my mom, like, probably when I was about, like, 15, 16 was like, all right, we're taking things on. Like, that's what we're doing. So she really started pushing that. And that was like a big thing we started doing is like, well, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to take on this. And I think like a big thing about Lent that people forget is like, it's supposed to be sustainable change. So when you're cutting things out, like watching too much TV, like mine will probably be TikTok, watching too much TikTok. Mm-hmm. I want to replace it with something good, but also I want to make sure that by the end of Lent, I'm like, oh, well, I can live without that. I can cut down on that, and I can, like, you know, creating better change for yourself, but also like leaving yourself like Jesus in the desert, you want to leave better than you were when you first started being into the desert. So I think that's like the big thing. And also like taking on these important things. Like, I know, like, I like did one where I like one Lent, I was like reaching out to people better. And so like I had these really meaningful conversations and like really like showing love and compassion. Cause I think when we realize how busy we are, and then when you start kind of taking away things, you're like, oh, well, I guess I'm really not that busy, you know?
Right. So, well, and I love how definitive something like reaching out to people is. Like, I know somebody who, they said, every week I'm going to handwrite a letter to someone and I'm going to, I forget the words they use, but basically it was, I'm either going to like make amends, ask for forgiveness, or I'm going to write something that's affirming to somebody in my life that I need to do that.
Yeah.
And so they're writing all these letters to these people from their childhood and from growing up and all. And that was huge. And it was so tangible as opposed to, I'm going to do a holy hour. And holy hour is great. Mm-hmm. But like when I've done Exodus, it's been, I'm going to do a holy hour. And what does that really mean? Okay. I'm going to go to adoration like once or twice a week, but then I'm going to listen. I'm going to count that time when I'm listening to Father Mike's Bible in a year. That's part of the holy. That's holy. Yeah. And then my prayer. Well, I probably prayed for 10 minutes this morning and then on the car. And so we make all these excuses. Not everybody, but that's something that I struggle with. And when it's something tangible, like, no, once a week or once a day or once whatever, I'm going to do this thing.
And I think, too, I think a lot of times, especially like I fall in this trap, is like, I'm going to do these 12 things for Lent. I'm going to go to holy hour. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to do this and this. And then you first weekend, you're like, there's no physical way I can do this. Right. Mm-hmm. I have put too much. So like, even during Advent this year, I was like, you know what? I want to do these things. I want to be consistent in my prayer and my Bible time. Like, that's my goal, is just to be consistent, because I feel like a lot of times, like me personally, like I'll do fine for a little bit and then I go out of town, I go do something, and then I'm like messed up for a month. I can't get back on track. So, you know, like for me, like I just want to be more consistent. So I think you can have smaller goals and it not be like this huge thing. Like, I'm going to holy hour every single day for all of Lent.
Yeah, no, that's huge. What I've taken to saying recently, because I like it, is when we're on this earth, our faith is not a destination, it's a direction. Mm-hmm. So like, I've tried to be better about, like, a big thing for me is I want to do daily rosary, but every once in a while there's just like a week where I just completely mess up and it's so hard to hop back on the train. And what I've started doing, which helps way more, is if that does happen, I don't say I have to do a full rosary the next day. I start out with like, I'm going to do a decade tomorrow and I have to do a decade. And then after a couple of days of that, I'll do 2 decades. And that has led to me praying more of the rosary than trying to tell myself I have to go back into the full rosary.
Well, it goes back to like that station in life thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to be as a father and a husband, there's only so much that I can do practically that I have to know myself to avoid not being a jerk to my wife and my children. And all of these, your Lenten sacrifices or the things that you're taking on with Lent should not impede your vocation in life, right? Yeah. Because it's not just a badge of honor that you're supposed to wear around. What are you going to say,
Nini? I think Lent for me is like, so typically I'm always so busy with like Life Teen and stuff like that. So this is the first year to where I don't have Life Teen on Sundays. And so I think it's a little bit more special because I don't hang out with my family often. And so on Sundays, I get to hang out with them every single Sunday and go to mass with them. So now like, I think for like before I was like sacrificing my time for others, but now I think this year it's like spending time with my family and like hanging out with them and doing our Sunday traditions that we never used to do. Like we used to do brunch every single Sunday and hang and just like hang out, talk about our week because we don't do family dinners. Like I'm always working and I get home, I'm doing homework. My mom gets home from work late. My dad's usually watching TV. My brother's playing video games. So we don't have to do family dinners. And so I think like Sundays now is like our time to like unpack and unwind and just kind of like check in with each other. Like, how are you doing? How's your week?
Right. And it's a matter of putting first things first, too, right? Going back to your vocation in life and what that looks like. And I love, I think it was you, AG, that was talking about how it being something sustainable, right? When you do, I love the idea, and I hadn't thought about that till you said it, but the idea of, no, we can all grow in our faith in some ways. What can I do during Lent that I might not continue to do in the same capacity once Easter comes, but that's good for me and I should be doing anyway, and I can continue doing this moving forward?
No, I think that's a big thing, like, even like shout out to Hallow for their amazing stuff because that's really like helped me with like my prayer life. Because even if it's like, oh, I'm so busy, I can't do it at home. Like I have to, you can pray it in your car. You can, there's so many great ways that like things that they're able to do that. So that's really helped me with my prayer life and with my Bible time.
Yeah. The car thing, I drive for 45 minutes a day, like one way to school, to work. Right. And that is my selfish time if I want it to be, right? Yeah. That is the time when nobody is dependent on me and I can totally just listen to podcasts about whatever. Obviously, I should be listening to Honest to God on repeat. no, but I can do it. I can make a decision. Yeah. And a lot of my Lenten sacrifices / the things I take on actually has to do with that little bit of time.
Yeah.
Because it is a time that is actually all mine. I don't have the option of spending it with my family or with my children or anything. I'm alone by myself in the car. And I have control over that time, not at the expense of my vocations.
So. It's kind of crazy how cars like have the opportunity to become little chapels because so many people, it's like, I can do a rosary because I'm driving.
Or
I can like listen to like the Bible in a Year podcast, maybe.
Or the Catechism in a Year.
Oh, that's a good
honest
one.
To God. Or
but mostly honest to God.
It's episode 3.14159.
It's a great show. You
gotta tune into that one.
Yeah. No, I remember last year was my like first Lent that I ever tried to take something on. And it was halfway through that I decided to do it.
Cool.
Like for the first half.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Exactly. For the first half of Lent, I was just like, okay, you know, like giving up sweets, you know, like the basic things that everybody does. And I'm like, okay. And I wasn't really feeling great about any of it. I was like halfway through, I was like, you know what? I want to pray a daily rosary. Like I heard some story about like a priest that started praying a daily rosary at like beginning of his priesthood. Nice. And like he was basically blind to like all this evil that was hitting him just because he was praying a daily rosary because he was so devoted to that. And so I started doing that and I've kept up with it. And it's almost a year now since I started doing
that. You're still doing it?
Yeah.
Great.
And of course there have been like days where I've like dropped off and just completely forgot to say a rosary, but it's mostly like mornings in the car where I have a half hour drive to work. And I'm like, you know what? I could listen to a podcast right now, listen to half a podcast, but you know what? I'm going to pray a rosary and I'm going to sit there just with myself. And even more recently, I've tried to like make that a more definitive part because I've realized that like praying the rosary has become like a box to check.
Yep.
And it's like something that I insert into my day instead of making time for it in my day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've tried to like wake up early. And so I wake up and I've been trying to do it 5 a.m. It hasn't worked most days, but like get up earlier so I have a couple hours before I have to do anything. Right. And so I can sit there, read a little bit of a book, pray a rosary, and just be and like take that time out of my day already to put it aside.
Yeah. Well, and I would argue that if you are in a position right now where you don't have much of a prayer life at all, don't start anywhere near I'm going to pray a rosary every day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's not,
right?
That's not going to happen.
Start with I'm going to actually talk to God for 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 90 seconds, whatever it is. If you got nothing, then do it. Start there.
Okay. That reminds me. One thing for me, I always have trouble with like getting into the chapel or just like sitting down and like praying a rosary, stuff like that. And one thing my dad always like taught me growing up in my prayer life, like just talk to God like he's sitting right next to you. Have a conversation with him.
Right.
So one thing that's helped me a lot when I always like fall away from my prayer life and then I get back into it, whenever I pass by a church, a chapel that I know has a tabernacle, I say, "Hi, Jesus."
Yeah.
Give him a little hello. Sometimes when I'm in the car, if no one else is in the car with me, I pretend he's in my passenger seat and I talk to him.
That's awesome.
Or like whenever I'm walking on the sidewalk, I make room for him. Yeah. So he walks with me.
Oh, I love that.
And I think that's one thing that really helped me just kind of like always remember that God is there. Like just talk to him. Like, so
I complain to God in the shower in the morning. That's part of my routine. It really is. Like, not like to God about things God has done, but I'm just like, all right, God, I got this going on today. And I'm so like, I'm just frustrated and whatever. And I always, you know, I add a little bit of whatever in there. Yeah. And I always do the, you know, like in my sort of more formal prayer, the thank yous and the examination of consciences and I'm sorries and stuff. But that's really a time when it's just like, God, can I just like unload for a minute? Yeah.
Seeing the personhood in prayer has been like a huge thing for me.
Say that one more time.
Seeing the personhood in prayer, like, we pray to God all the time. Sometimes we forget to pray to the Father.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like for me, so I've been trying to be intentional about thinking about what prayer I'm doing and who I'm praying to. Because I realized when I was doing my rosary, I was just praying upwards.
Right.
That I was just like kind of aiming myself.
Saying words in that general direction.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, hold up. Mary deserves more than this. And God's not going to be happy with me if I'm not respecting Mary enough. This is Mary's prayer. And God's part of it, obviously, but I'm like, when I'm praying the rosary, I'm talking to Mary.
Right.
If I'm in adoration, I'm talking to Jesus. Jesus is my brother. Jesus is my friend. Mary's my mother. The Father's my father.
Yeah.
It's complicated with the Spirit. I will be honest. I never know exactly what to talk to the Spirit about.
Right.
Usually like fire, something about fire.
I always think of the Spirit as like kind of like just there. Like, you know what I mean? Like situational, like. Before you like enter anywhere or like, before you have a hard conversation, like, Holy Spirit, just be with me. Just tell me what I need to say.
Right.
You know, whatever I need to be like. And even like I've been praying the this prayer that like was, I think, a priest like did like for like Mother Teresa. And it was basically like the Radiance Prayer. And so it's basically like, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, that's fine. Like, I want you to do that. Like, I'm just here for you. Like, I'm not here for anything else.
So. Yeah, I love it. Like the surrender and all of that. Mm-hmm. I'm all about it. I want to keep going down this train, but we're at time. And so we got to take a real quick break. Be sure to hang on. We'll be right back. You're listening to AM 1160, The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. This is Honest to God.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest. And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Pumped to be here for the second half. We were talking about Lent on AM 1160, The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. This is Honest to God. Still hanging out in studio with Madeline and AG and Nene and JJ. So, a lot of fun, really pumped. Last episode or last segment before the break, we were talking a lot about sort of what we've done for Lent, what's been good, what we've given up, what we've taken on. I don't even know if this is like you guys weren't prepped with any of these. I don't even know if this is a thing. I want it to be though. Did your family growing up or your family now have any family traditions that you did together during Lent? Community being a recurring theme that we have on this show. And I think a lot of these holidays, well, it's not really a holiday, but a time of preparation, but they're best together, right? As opposed to separate. So does anybody have any examples?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I got a couple. Yeah. I mean, honestly, tradition-wise, I'm thinking that Lent's not as, my family's not as good at. But we do some things. Like our church does something called Liturgy of the Pre-Sanctified Gifts, and we try and go to those.
Yeah.
It's Wednesdays and Fridays, I believe, or maybe just Wednesdays. And the idea is because it's a time of sorrow, the liturgy doesn't actually have the consecration during it.
Oh, that's interesting. Sure.
They take, like, host has been consecrated already, and so you're able to receive it. So that's right. Why it's called pre-sanctified gifts.
Right.
But it's kind of like, yeah, like, kind of referencing that, like, this is a time of sorrow, mourning, of, like, deep thinking. And that's always fun.
And if you're thinking, what is JJ talking about? You're Byzantine Rite.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Byzantine Rite Catholic.
Well, even that's kind of cool what they do for, like, Good Friday. Like, it's already, like, pre-consecrated. Yeah. So that's, we do something similar to
it. I love the Holy Week, all the covered statues.
Holy Week is my favorite week.
Yeah.
Ever. Same. Like, in the church, favorite week.
That's same. Awesome. Yeah. What else? Other family traditions? I'm really curious because I'm always looking for stuff to do with my own kids.
Yeah. I mean, so my dad, okay, so my dad gives up alcohol. So he has like a dry Lent. And my mom gives up shopping, bless her heart, because she loves to shop. I give up usually, I cut my coffee intake in half because I usually drink 4 a day. So I usually only drink 2. And then my brother gives up video games at night.
Between 7:30 and 7:38.
But typically what we do is my dad's love language is to give gifts. And so my dad would actually take us shopping. My mom and I shopping every single year. As like,
I thought your mom gave up shopping.
She's not buying. My dad's buying it.
We're going to dedicate a whole show just on Lenten loopholes.
But my dad likes, like, we always dress like really nice. And so he'll buy us a brand new dress for like Easter every single year. And so like we'll dress up really nice and we'll go to mass and we'll come home and we'll just feast. Like my dad will like cook prime rib and then
for Easter, you're saying,
for Easter, yeah. And then we'll do that and we'll have like, I'll get him a bottle of wine, like a really expensive bottle of wine, bless my bank account, for him to celebrate. And then I'll give my mom a gift, like a little gift card, go shopping,
right?
And so it's like our traditions, like I'll give him gifts, my dad will cook, my mom will not yell at my dad because they usually argue when they cook in the kitchen together. So she's a little bit nicer in the kitchen.
Right.
And then my brother is downstairs with us the entire time helping. That's what we do every single year. That's and cool. It's just so nice because like my brother's nicer to me. I don't know why. He's usually really mean
grace.
To me.
Grace. Sanctifying grace.
Yes, there you go.
All those not playing video games. He's learning sanctified grace. Yeah.
Exactly. You know what? I'll give him that. But yeah, it's like a really fun tradition I look forward to every single year. And it's mostly because I get a new dress every year.
Yeah.
Tell him this year he should only play video games that involve where he can play as the Crusaders. That'd be fun.
He plays Dungeons and Dragons.
As a paladin.
Yes. I don't know. He plays too many video games. I can't keep up with it.
We're going to do a Dungeons and Dragons.
There should be a D&D episode.
Yeah. So much fun.
So incredible.
It'd be like a 4 or 5 hour episode, but we could.
We got to get Justin back in here for that.
Yes.
He's a fan. The end of Lent is really nice. We do have traditions for that.
Yeah.
But you do in the Byzantine liturgy, right? Don't they have like it's not just a meat fast, but also a cheese fast and all these. Can you talk about that?
Cheese fast.
Yeah. Tomorrow's and granted, this is like a traditional thing. It's not required anymore.
But it's super cool.
And I'm a growing boy, so I don't always do it. But tomorrow's actually a meat fair Sunday. And then.
So talk about what that means.
So we have. We like pre-game Lent almost, yeah. I guess, in the Byzantine tradition. So Meat Fair Sunday, there's Meat Fair Sunday, and then Cheese Fair Sunday is like right before Lent officially starts. And Meat Fair Sunday is the Sunday that you like get like a whole bunch of like meats, brats, sausages, all that fun stuff. And it's all like just meat-centric dishes.
Right.
And you just go all out. And then traditionally, from then till the end of Lent, you don't eat meat.
Right.
And then cheese for a Sunday is the same thing, but with like cheese.
Lots of cheese, and then you don't eat any cheese until the end of Lent.
Yeah, exactly.
So, question: so, do you give up all dairy?
It's kind of iffy. And once again, like this is not for soft Americans. This was like back in Ukraine, so we just kind of we keep. The Sunday where we eat a whole bunch of stuff, but we don't.
Then you don't. Right, okay.
But Monday. Monday, first day of Lent, is like, as a nod to that, Monday is no meat, no dairy. And we count eggs as part of that too.
Yeah, because I know like in veganism they count eggs as part of that too. So
yeah, okay. So and gosh, just like on Monday I'll be like looking at the bread. I'm like, is this like the bread that's made with like milk or yeah. something, or yeah. is it like some weird process stuff yeah. that I can get away with? It was actually really tough because at RCA, Regina Chaley mm-hmm. Academy, they were like, okay, we go to school on Monday and Thursday, so we can't do Mardi Gras, but we'll make our own Fat Monday instead of Fat Tuesday. And I was like, right. this still does nothing for me.
Right.
We don't start on Wednesday. We start on Monday.
Yeah.
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 It's super cool. I really like the tradition. I was reading, I think it was last year, but all of the exceptions that have been made for meat and what does and does not qualify as meat.
Specifically, like Americans. Like, I know like when it was St. Patrick's Day one year mm-hmm. on a Friday, and like the U.S. bishops were like, "Yeah, you guys are good. You guys are fine. You can
have." Oh, I see, but I totally agree with that one. I am Catholic right now because of St. Patrick in a very mm-hmm. long line, and I agree. I count that as a borderline solemnity almost. But I was reading about all of these requirements that were. Sort of, I guess, exceptions were made with meat, and then the story behind them, because it's all interesting. You can pull up like, well, you can eat alligator, and you can eat beaver meat, and you can eat muskrat, and I'm like, that's weird. Why? And I dug into it. It's super cool because they had the French trappers in Canada when they were settling the country who petitioned their bishop, who was based over in Europe, and they said, can we please have an exception regarding beaver? They have scales on their tails. They live in the water, and it's literally like 90% of what we eat and we'll starve to death and die. We don't have beaver meat. And they're like, you know what? Beaver's fine. You can eat beaver. Huh. And in Louisiana with the alligator, it's super interesting. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. Can I ask something? Some things I don't know if they're Byzantine or just regular Catholic. Do y'all not eat meat on Wednesdays during Lent?
No,
just Friday.
It's just Friday. Just Friday. Just Friday. Ash Wednesday,
you don't eat meat.
Oh, right. So that's a Byzantine thing then.
Yeah.
We don't eat meat Wednesdays or Fridays during Lent.
Well, I think aren't there a couple Ember Days in Lent as well?
Ember Days?
Do you guys?
Yeah, flesh that out for us, Ben.
Oh, okay. So Ember Days is something my mother has found recently, like in the last year and a half. And they're basically like certain days throughout the Catholic calendar that you basically consider the same as Ash Wednesday, where you only eat like two small meals and then one large meal that doesn't equal the two small meals put together, right. and like that kind of like fasting, and then you don't eat meat on those days. And they're very interesting because I'm not sure what the days of them are, but there's like 10 or 15 throughout the year,
right?
That like, and they're just supposed to be little days, and they're usually on like solemnities or different saints' feast days that are very important.
Right.
And like sometimes they'll be clumped like two or three days in a row. It's a very strange thing that used to be very prevalent. And it used to be a big thing in like Eastern traditions.
No, I'm all about like ratcheting up a little bit our amount of fasting and whatever, because we get too lazy. I make all I make stupid exceptions and all of these, like, you know, changing the rules about this because I've got a really good reason. I don't have any.
Yeah, like beavers live in the water or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
The loopholes.
Linton loopholes. Yeah, there's a bunch of those, and I feel like I've gotten fat and lazy and been doing that a lot over the years. I want to ratchet it up, but once again, by me telling you that I want to ratchet it up, I'm losing all the goodness from ratcheting it up. never mind. Well, that is actually an awesome segue to something that I know we want to talk about, which is fish fries.
Fish fries.
Are we doing this? We doing the fish fry thing?
Yeah.
We're going to do the fish fry contest?
Yeah. Okay. We're going to do. So,
let's talk about it.
You know, I work with City on Purpose. We did a fish fry contest last year. It went really, really well. The Knights of Columbus guys were so sweet. They like freaked out when we gave them their awards. They were super sweet. And we want to do it again. And I think that it's important to celebrate not only these parishes and their communities, but also like you're supporting your local parish and your local charities.
Totally.
And you don't have to cook. So I feel like it's a win-win all the way around.
So it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we're partnering. We're going to work together to do like a fish. We're going to try to hit as many fish fries as we can over the course of Lent and then create an award. Is it like a golden fish? What is it?
Last year we did have like little golden fish, little guys. They were super
1,000%.
Cute.
If you're watching this on the day it comes out, then we most likely, if all goes according to plan, filmed the first of these fish fry videos the day before this episode comes out.
Oh, cool.
So
oh,
we've nice. Already filmed the first one. Should be coming out in the next few days. Yeah,
and I'll go a step further and say that if you want your counsel to be a part of this, right, because we're going to try to hit as many as we can, obviously, but there's only so many of us and so many fish to fry. please leave us a comment, shoot us a message.
Leave
or
us a comment, send us an email. We will be super interested in partnering with you guys.
Absolutely. Tag us on Instagram.
Yep.
Yeah, and you'll get a really beautiful golden fish if you win.
If you win.
Are you first, second, third, or what's the...
Yeah, usually first. We did that last year for second, third. Also, make sure to vote for your parish. That's important.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cityonpurpose.com, right?
Cityonpurpose.com. Yeah, there'll be the ultimate fish fry guide for 2023. Yep. So go check that out. Go support your local fish fries. Go eat a bunch of fish.
There's a huge range of fish fries.
I think that's something really interesting that I learned last year. Mm-hmm. I had always gone to just my parish fish fry every year. It's kind of the same thing. It's not bad. It's great. I love it. But people do fish tacos. Mm. I believe Mary Our Queen had a rotating menu last year.
Okay.
Ooh.
So you could go in. There's a chef up in Cleveland, Georgia. So up in the mountains. He is a local chef, and he does the fish fry at one of the parishes up there. Mm-hmm. It looks delicious, so go out there, go to some different parishes, try some different stuff.
Yeah, I was more disappointed than I think I've ever been in a fish fry last year. I got so excited about it, and I went because I, once again, talking about being fat and lazy, the only time I ever eat a fish fillet sandwich from a fast food place or any of that is during Lent. I get super excited about it. I'm totally sacrificing today by spending all this money eating out delicious.
Oh, I'm getting the fish fillet from McDonald's.
Totally. Yeah. That's the only time I ever eat it. I love that McDonald's does that though, because they really
they
do
know
the big
who they're
promos.
Marketing towards.
I know. And it's never explicit. But
Chick-fil-A, I think
some
every year. Some Chick-fil-A's they never have fish on the menu. But then over Lent, on Fridays, they have
just
fish.
Casually. Just casually.
Yeah, so does Arby's.
Yeah. Does Arby's do one?
And you do a King Hawaiian as the bun with the fish in the middle. Ooh. So good. I don't go to McDonald's. I go to Arby's for my sandwiches.
I don't know if they still do this, but because of our mutual friend, Mary Swanson.
Yeah.
Wendy's fish sandwiches.
Really?
Were something else. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check that out.
But Christ Redeemer up in Dawsonville, they do the fried pickles and the fried shrimp and the fried, or not fried shrimp,
do
fried
all
pickles.
Sorts of awesome bunch. Stuff. Like, well, fried pickles. And usually, too, there's a dessert table, which my mom used to always be like, well, some people are giving up desserts for lunch. That's kind of an oxymoron that you talked about there. But, it usually their bake off sale for preschool or local organization. So
I'm big on I think there should be things like that sometimes. I always hated it when my mom would be I'd be Mom, can I have ice cream? And they're like when I was younger, and they're oh well, your brother's giving up sweets. That's gonna make him feel really bad.
But I'm not giving him up.
This is the sacrifice.
We
I'm making
all
him holy.
Sacrifice this.
Yeah, no, I think that's super interesting. I one thing in that we haven't talked about though with Lent, once again, this is probably I'm probably bringing this up because I'm feeling guilty about talking about my sushi dates that I have on Fridays during Lent, but is almsgiving. We talked about giving stuff up. We talked about taking stuff on. Mm-hmm. We didn't talk about almsgiving, which is a big part of these times of preparedness, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what you have heard of. We can open this up to some awesome charities that exist, but I really want to get into that because that's something that we struggle with in our household, and we tend to put it on the back burner. And it's not, tithing initially to God and then dealing with our household expenses and then dealing with all the things we want to do and the recreation and everything. But it tends to be, let's do all the stuff we want. Oh, can we then afford to give to this charity that we really like? So, I don't know what y'all's experience have been like that. I don't know if you do stuff like that during Lent, if your family has. I'd love to talk about it. And then if you know of some wonderful charities, I'd like to talk about those. Mm-hmm. Madeline.
Okay. So one thing, whenever I first got a job way back when, and my dad helped me set up a budget, one of the main things he wanted me to do was to learn how to tithe. Mm-hmm. And so I would always do my budget at the beginning of the month. And I had a separate envelope for the tithe, and I would stick it in there. And he'd always be like keep it and pull it out now and save it. Because one good analogy, which I think he got from somebody else, but I will Right now, I don't know who it was from, so I don't give him credit for it.
Way to go, Madeline's dad.
If you have a bag of apples, and like they're really good apples, but you put off giving an apple to somebody else, like the apple just kind of sits in there. You keep eating them, but that apple just kind of sits there and it starts rotting away and it starts getting a little bad. Right. And then by the end of the month, you're like, well, I don't want to give that apple away because it looks ugly and it's bad. So like you don't give it to them because it just ends up being used for something else. Yeah. So like do it at the beginning. And so that's one thing that always helped me. I don't really... I tithe, but I don't like, I really don't have the money right now to like donate to charities and stuff. I'm more of like giving my time, but that's one thing that's always helped.
Which is absolutely almsgiving, by the way.
Yeah.
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 And especially most of the times it's just stuff through my parish where like we had, like last Sunday we had something called the Super Bowl, but like soup, S-O-U-P-E-R bowl. Yeah. And we sold like a bunch of different soups to the parish and like the, we like paired up with the Presbyterian and the Methodist church and like people from all over the county came and like we served them up soup. And I went because they were like, we need volunteers. So I was like, all right, I'll show up. And that's so what we're doing. Like some of our fish fries are actually like, we're going and as like the Catholic Center and some of us are going to volunteer and help out with stuff like that. But that with the tithing and then also plays into like almsgiving and like donations and different things like that.
No,
like
that giving of time like, is absolutely on the
But my priest always tells me it's time, talent, or treasure.
Three teams.
Yeah. And I would argue oftentimes giving of your time can be more valuable, right? And I always go back to that analogy, right, in the Gospels of the woman who just puts her two tiny coins in there and is judged by the Pharisees or whatever who are heaping in everything. And then Christ saying like, no, that is a greater gift to God than however many, you know, thousands of dollars that guy's pouring in because she's giving, right? Not from her excess, right? But she, it's a more meaningful gift. And our time is something, like that's a great equalizer, right? It doesn't matter if you're Elon Musk or Madeline, right? You still have the same amount of time in the day, in the week, in the year to give. So that's huge.
And also one thing for me, it makes me feel a lot better, like not in like a prideful way, but in like a humility way. It's like, I'm able to, I have spare time and I am able to give it up. And in the end, you just feel good because you're like, you're like, instead of doing something for myself, I was able to offer up my time for someone else. And it just creates a cycle. And you're like, I'm going to do it next time. And I'm going to do it again and again. And it's just, it just becomes a part of a habit in like your life and stuff.
So. Aside from giving time at parishes, is anybody aware of any other wonderful charities we might not know about?
Well, there's, of course, like Atlanta Catholic Catholic Charities of Atlanta. They do a lot of amazing work for people that are immigrating here.
Sure.
So if you know, like, they have some volunteer opportunities, but also they need money. They need donations for kids that are going into schools and stuff. Like, even, like, make sure to, like, check out, like, your local, like, St. Vincent de Paul. Like, ask what they need. A lot of parishes have some amazing organizations within them. Also, your local pregnancy resource center.
That's what I was about to say.
Always need stuff.
Pregnancy aid centers.
Always need stuff. And again, they need your time, they need your talent, but they always need donations.
A couple weeks ago, my wife and I were at a pregnancy aid center. We called in a favor, actually, because my wife is pregnant and we've had complications and had some miscarriages. And we called in a favor saying, hey, can we come and get an ultrasound now, right, from you guys instead of waiting later? And they were great and they were super accommodating. And I was sitting in the waiting room and they're so used to dealing with women who are considering abortions. So everything's free and all they've got a little shop there and everything. And I mentioned that why we were there, because I came in, I think that they assumed that we were there considering an abortion and we didn't have any money. And the second part was absolutely true. We didn't have any money. And
healthcare is expensive.
And so the woman in the lobby just like latched onto me and started talking about all these things that were going on there. And it will blow your mind, the kind of things that are happening there. It's not just free ultrasounds and baby clothes.
No, it's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot of like, even like I was checking on Facebook the other day, our local one, like they were just talking about like how much like emotional like energy they're having to put in that, because you are talking to people that are considering an abortion and how like how you have to have these difficult conversations with people you've never even met.
Right.
So, and you're having these difficult conversations and just like, not only are they like saving lives, but they're like changing people's lives with the truth and honesty and with just giving love to these people that would otherwise not experience love in that way.
Totally.
So yeah, cool. I did a shoot for a pregnancy aid center when I was living in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Like we went and filmed like almost a little short film. Like we had an actress there that was like acting out and she was a volunteer. It was great. It was wonderful. But just hearing these people talk about like what they do and the good work that they do there. And it was right across the street from a Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
Like looking at each other. Mm. And so like it's insane. The difference in personality between, cause it was also, there was also like a pro-life protest going on. Like people just come and, you know, there's always protests happening outside of Planned Parenthood. And so like the differences between employees from both sides, like kind of interacting and talking to each other, like the people on the pregnancy aid center are just like these amazingly lovely people who just want to pour themselves out.
I cannot recommend, if you're looking for a place to give your time or your money, by all means, check out your local pregnancy aid clinic.
They need the help.
There's a lot of them around here. We went to the local one over in Roswell. And it was amazing.
And even just like your local community, like a big thing I know now is like free fridges and like free food pantries. Definitely, like if you're gonna do anything, do that. Like I think a big thing with like when people ask about like, well, what charity is, about like do something that's super tangible. Do something that people will actually like, you know, do things from.
Well, and from a proximity standpoint, some places close.
Yeah,
right.
You know these people. You
charity,
know
charity in all forms. That's great. Yeah. I'm not knocking charity, but I think that we struggle in our comfortable Western world with telescopic charity.
Yeah.
And we're giving all this money to some far-flung part of the world or whatever, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. Give those people money. Go do that mission trip, whatever. Mm. But there are people in our communities or in our families or in our own households that need us.
Yeah.
And during Lent especially is the time to ramp that up.
No, I always think of like the Mother Teresa quote. She was somebody had come to volunteer with her and they're like, well, what should we do? I should stay here and I should work with you. And she goes, no, you should go to your community.
Right.
That's where people need you. They need you where you are. Like not everybody can come to Calcutta and like it's not going to work. Like you have to go home and take care of those people in your community.
It's so much easier to when we hear Christ talking about our neighbors, to think of our neighbors as if they all live in impoverished.
Yes.
No, they're your neighbor, like the actual neighbors that you have. Like it's just easier. It's easier to put it out of sight and out of mind as opposed to thinking about the people around us.
One really great charities and stuff that I've looked towards as I've actually like gotten a job and am able to give of what I have is like good Catholic schools, like St. John Bosco Academy or like Wyoming Catholic College, and these places that are doing fantastic things in like forming great people. And most of them don't like take the like government handouts that and they can't because of just how they're set up and how the freedom that they want to teach and to
authentically
authentically. And so they need that support. And I know like Wyoming Catholic College especially, you'll get a letter from a student at Wyoming Catholic, like that's a handwritten letter from them with like a picture saying, here's how your charity helped me to become a better person.
Well,
it's
even too, like college is so expensive and even running a college is so expensive, so to be able to like knowing that you'll be able to impact somebody that would otherwise not be able to attend or not be able to go there is so important.
And usually you can specify like what you want your donation to go to. Like if you want it to go towards scholarships or if you want it to go towards like the current needs or like an outdoors program, like something that you feel passionate about. So it's not just going to an organization and you don't know how they're using it.
Yeah.
Can I say a word for though? There's this. This is kind of off topic of like, this is going more the whole like far away from home, because they're both good. They're both
good. Totally good.
And far from home. And just a charity I really like is Mustard Seed Ministries. They're set up in like Africa. Oh, that's awesome. No, but they're in Africa. They're in Nicaragua, I believe. They're in Jamaica. Yeah. They're in the Dominican Republic. And what they really focus on is, we have more stuff here in the United States to take care of children with disabilities, but they do not in these other countries. There's a priest, Father Garvin, I believe, is the one who founded it. And he, like, there's these countries, there's, like, kids who, like, might not be able to walk who get, like, left in trash cans and stuff. So the whole point of Mustard Seed Ministries is they have a whole bunch of homes for just these kids with disabilities. They also have one for single teenage mothers, which is awesome.
And if you're not doing anything, there's going to be a Mustard Seed trip down to Jamaica, serving orphans with special needs in particular. Talk about the most vulnerable of vulnerable groups, right? So if you're interested in that, you can go to www.gofishoutreach.com for more details. You can also shoot us a message, and we're going to try to have a lot of people from Honest to God attending that. So yeah, check it out. And that's all the time we have for today. It's wild, flying by, but we got to go. Thanks so much for being here. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.